Here's our TSN hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. What kind of curveball do you think this could throw the league, Pierre, out in Vancouver in terms of scheduling and how this all plays out?
Yeah, it's huge. There's no question about it. I mean, the league has done an unbelievable job of the league schedule maker, Stephen Hatzepetros, of not scheduling any games past May 11th so far with all these changes. But, boy, it's right on the edge right now. It is right on the edge as far as what's going to happen here. And the reality is, I don't think the Canucks are playing next Thursday when you know, the statement yesterday said, you know, they might come back and play on April 8th. I don't think that's happening. So I just think, I mean, the updated list today had 7 Canucks players. It is actually 8 players, as we reported this morning. There was one name omitted, and they're going to update that here at some point. But so there's 8 players on the list. More testing done today. The results will be known later tonight, and who knows if we have to wait till tomorrow to find out what that means. But this is really the biggest concern you ever have when you start the season. Dallas had it at the start of the year, as we know, and to be honest, it's derailed their season from the get-go, right? I mean,
right.
They're trying valiantly to fight through it. I believe this week, I was talking to someone in the Stars organization this week. This week was their 5th consecutive week where they played Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
Five straight 4-game weeks. The Habs on Monday night, a game that we have on TSN Regional, the Habs on Monday night start the first of 5 consecutive weeks of 4 games a week.
Yikes.
So,
I give them credit the way they've come out, Pierre. I said this earlier in the afternoon. I was surprised the way they played against Edmonton and Ottawa, and I give them full credit for that. But I am curious to see if they can keep it going. You know, if they can keep the energy level up. If they run into an injury or a goalie starts to struggle, that is a real grind, the amount of games that Montreal is about to play.
No question. And so there's a couple of things to chew on with that. They need to, and they've done it right out of the gates, as you said, they need to pile up the points over the next 2 weeks before it starts to hit them. So they need to, and, you know, they've put up a bit of space. I mean, they're actually third in the division right now on points percentage. But they need to keep piling it now while they have the energy, because it's going to hit them. I mean, at some point, there are going to be games where they just don't have it, and you're going to see when you watch it. The other thing to think about here is the Habs have a lot of bodies. With the acquisition of Eric Staal, the signing of Cole Caulfield, who at some point will, after playing some games in Laval, will get called up. Tyler Toffoli will be back from injury soon. Yoel Armia should be back from the COVID list over the next week or two. They're going to have a lot of bodies. And so what I'm going to be fascinated by, because they have no cap room, they're right at the edge, is they're going to want to keep that depth as much as possible to get through this grind, to get through these next 5 weeks where they're playing, you know, 4 games a week. But the cap only allows so many things. And so I'm going to be fascinated by, A, do they end up, you know, creating some cap space before April 12th, which I think they are looking at right now because they have to, but at the same time, trying to keep as much depth around as possible. So that's going to be something to monitor with them, because I think they're going to need all hands on deck.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And you mentioned Cole Caulfield, and we talked about him earlier this week.
Yeah.
And he's a guy they took in the first round a couple of years ago. He scores the lights out. He shoots the lights out. He did with the American team. He did in college. He did at the juniors. And the expectation is, you know, he can be maybe a DeBrincat, who was doing that in Chicago, a smaller guy, right-handed shot, but can shoot the lights out. But when you consider what Bergevin has done over the past couple of years, going out there and getting Anderson, who's a right-winger, signing him to a 7-year deal, signing Toffoli long-term, a right-winger, giving Gallagher a long-term extension, a right-winger, how does this add up? Like, where does Caulfield come into play? Even Armia, who's been a good find for them as a bottom six, he plays generally on the right side. So what's going to happen here with this logjam on the right side of Montreal?
Well, you can't feel too great if you're Armia, because he's UFA.
Yeah, he's a UFA. I think he's gone. I agree.
But so, Caulfield's not on the fourth line either. Like, that's
no,
not
no,
a plan.
No,
none of those guys are.
Yeah, they're going to try, certainly, and they've tried that since the start of the year, but at times the third line has looked more like a third line. They're going to try and be a top-nine team, probably truly offensively for the first time in a long time when everyone's in their spot. And you know, the other big decision will be Deneau after the year, who's playing now finally like the Phil Deneau that we know after a real struggle early on. Like, I think the whole thing where they negotiated and he wasn't extended, and he saw how Petrie and Gallagher were extended, but he wasn't. And it is what it is. It's the business of hockey, but I think it affected him, really weighed on him. And he's up at the end of the year. You know, how do they replace him if they can't fit him under the cap? So that's another big thing. But, yeah, it'll be interesting with Caulfield. I mean, I don't think that my sense is from talking to someone today, it's not like they've said, okay, here's X amount of games in the AHL and then we're calling you up. I do think they want to see how he fares in pro hockey for the first time before they call him up. But I think we'll see him. And the one thing that he can do, even though the learning curve is steep, is that he has the kind of natural offensive finish, I think, that the Habs don't really have. I mean, they got a lot of good players. They don't have any A to A-plus finishers on that team. And that's what he brings. So, I think they'll find a spot for him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just think they, you know, Bergie's a guy, I think in a traditional situation, he would want him to play half a season in the AHL. He's got a little bit of Kenny Holland in him, a lot like what Kenny Holland did with Yamamoto. You know, is try and get him to the minors as much as possible, let him become a pro in his own right. But he may be forced basically on this situation, you know, because, you know, you're looking for players that can help your top nine. But ultimately, you know, it's not like you have the traditional season here. You know, like he's come out of college. Now he's 20. He's not 18. That's something that, you know, you look at. He might have a little bit more man strength to him than, you know, Kotkaniemi did when he first came over. Like, Kotkaniemi's just starting to come into his body, if you ask me. A little bit more confident, a little bit more stronger in certain situations. You know, Caulfield's not a big guy, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how he adapts at this level. It's not as physical, but you are going to have to win loose puck battles. And, Pierre, where I was going to go is, you know, Bergie always says I'm not doing anything, you know, phones off, all of this stuff. Like, do you, you know, when Bergie talks like that, it's almost like he's going to do exactly opposite of what he's saying. Like, do you get the sense that maybe he has something up his sleeve, or he's going to move somebody just to kind of give himself some relief? I know in reading, you know, Montreal Twitter, Lehkonen seems to be a guy who's on the outside and been a healthy scratch and that type of stuff.
Cost a shutout last night. You got to get him out of town.
Did you see that? Did you see Montreal Twitter going nuts on him?
Yeah, as if that really matters that much. Like Jake Allen, now he's Kent Dryden. You got to get it for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that they want to deal him, but I think they may, if they're trying to create that cap space, they may have to. There's not that many options. No one's taking Paul Byron's contract with two more years on it.
Right.
So there's only so many things. And, yes, I do think that ideally, now it's not a must. I mean, they can just do salary cap gymnastics for the rest of the year, and it's going to be convoluted. I mean, heck, Vegas played with 10 forwards last night. It's not what you want. But I think ideally that's where the phone calls are right now for the Habs, is trying to find a partner to alleviate their cap room. They're not alone, by the way. There's a few teams doing that right now. So that's where that's at. And, you know, I just think at the end of the day, though, that to just wrap this up on the Habs, because I think Hayes is on to something. The Habs cannot go in the final 2 weeks chasing points. Like, if they're chasing points in the last week of April and the first week of May, they're not making the playoffs. They need to get to a point where it's like, if they play 500 hockey the last month of the season, it's enough for them to get in. And I don't think they're that far away from that if you look at the standings. But that's where they need to be, because it's just going to be, they're going to be zombie nights for that team over the course of time.
Sure. With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. The Leafs are in action tonight, and Jack Campbell is playing, which is noted. I mean, you have to note that, because he's a guy that generally has not been capable of playing back-to-back games, even with the day off in between, based on his injury history. But he's going tonight. But the Freddie Anderson news is very difficult to get a read on, Pierre. Like, the longer this goes, the more pessimistic I become. The fact that he's getting more testing, the fact that he's not even on the ice, he's not going to join them on the trip, and we're under, 10 days away from the trade deadline for Dubas to know the answer as to whether he can rely on Freddie, and if he finds out that maybe he can't, how do you address it? Like, what's out there in terms of the goaltending market between now and the trade deadline if Dubas decides he has to do that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. I touched on it a bit in Insider Trading last night, but, you know, we don't have a lot of time to expand on that segment. In calling teams around the league, I get zero sense and you know, that the Leafs are calling around looking at goalies. So that's, you know, one step at a time. That's the first thing I was trying to figure out this week. But that doesn't mean that's not going to happen. And I think you kind of touched on it. What I'm being told from talking to a couple of people this week with knowledge of the Freddie Anderson situation is that he came back too early the first time. You know, Campbell was out, if you remember. Anderson came back. He should not have. And that produced a setback in his situation. What's happening now is that he wants to make sure that when he is back, well, we hope he's back, but that's, I'm being told he will be back, that it's like 110%. Like, this is the extra, extra, extra careful route that's happening here with him because he does not want to have another setback. And the person I spoke with said, you know, all signs point towards him when he is back that he'll be back for good. Okay, that's fine. But to your point, until that happens, you still have to ask the question, right? And so I think that's probably what the Leafs are waiting for is, okay, when are we getting him back? And when he comes back, how is he? And if it looks good, then they're fine. Because I don't think the Leafs want to go out and get a goal. I think that if they are confident that Freddie Anderson comes back healthy and that they've got a 7-0 Jack Campbell, that they feel pretty good about their goaltending. Why shouldn't they with those two guys? But they need to feel good about their health collectively. And I don't know that they can ascertain that yet 100%, obviously. So, again, if they get any hesitation on the Anderson situation between now and April 12th, then you got to pick up the phone. And there's not that many options. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I get a kick out of some Leaf fans and reading social media, like, you know, go out and get another one. Okay.
Yeah, who is it? That's like, it, right?
You don't do that in season. Noodles actually helped me for a piece I wrote earlier in the week in The Athletic about how rare in-season goalie trades are for the top guys, anyway. Now, we had Leonard last year, and that worked out well for Vegas, but Ryan Miller in 2014 was still a top-five goalie in the world and went to St. Louis, and it was a disaster. Not his fault, I'm just saying. Like, it's just hard, I think. Noodles knows more than me, but you know, sometimes just talking about this out loud, but then seeing how it works in real life, not that easy to go in and plug in a goalie and saying, all right, lead us to the promised land in the middle of the year where you don't know anyone.
Well, and you plug in another thing here, too. Frederick Anderson, like, he hasn't skated, I believe, since March 19th. So let's say he's off for over 2 weeks. He might be working out, staying in shape, eating properly, all of that stuff. That's the maintenance. But coming back, he's not skating once and starting a game. Like, he's going to have to, like, this is jumping on not just a moving train. This is a very fast-moving train because we are in the best hockey right now. This is the stretch time. This is where systems are already in. Guys are at their, you know, kind of optimal peak of playing well. And, you know, he's got to get his timing up right away and jump on it. There's no guarantee that's going to just happen overnight. You're going to have to run him several games to get him comfortable.
Well, how do you have that conversation, Noodles? Because I think ultimately the MRI is going to factor in, the medical team is going to factor in terms of the information that Dubas is seeking out and Dubas is going to get. But if it comes down to a point where you have to go to Freddie Anderson and ask him legitimately, this is a guy who's a free agent at the end of the year. It's a guy that's very proud and a guy that wants to prove what he can do come playoff time. I don't think Freddie Anderson's going to say, go get someone. So how do you even ask him? Like, what is the point of asking him in a way when you feel like you're probably going to get an answer, give me a few more weeks, I'll be fine, where what if he's not? Like, it's ultimately a game of chicken in a weird way because he's not going to tell you I'm not going to get back to 100% and perform well.
Well, you would hope that there's that trust in that relationship that if he doesn't think he can go, he would tell you. I would hope.
It's not about not going. It's just, you know, do you think you, like, we're talking a team that thinks they can win a cup and fight for, and they need Freddie Anderson. And Freddie Anderson's in a very precarious position. He doesn't have a contract, right? He wants to prove himself down the stretch and in the playoffs. And at some point, you're going to have to ask him, like, do you think you can get back to 100%? And he's got to give you the answer. And then you have to decipher whether or not you're going to accept it or not, basically.
Yeah. I think there's a chance, like, if they believe medically he can get to 100%, then it's up to him. That's the trust that they go, hey, we're giving you the time off. We're giving you the medical treatment, everything that's needed. And right now, Jack's playing well, so there's no rush to get back. We're managing the schedule. Now it's up to you. So that, you know, that becomes the relationship. They know what Freddie Anderson's capable of. This isn't his first year as a Leaf. That's, right. You know, they know exactly.
Yep, and again, the tough part in all this is, I think people are having two different conversations too. I think people are having the one we just had. Other people, I think, are actually what they're really saying is they don't trust Michael Hutchinson at three. I don't mind Hutchinson at three myself, but he literally had to play in the playoffs with Colorado last year because Grubauer and Francouz were out. So right. I think there are some Leafs fans and observers who what they're really saying is they're fine with Anderson and Campbell if they're healthy, but because of the health situation, they don't want to see Hutchinson in a playoff game. The three has to be upgraded. Okay, and I understand that, but let's just pull the name out of the hat. They go out and trade for Chris Driedger from Florida, who's a terrific story, terrific year. He's a cheap cap hit.
Yeah.
Well, so because you don't want to lose him on waivers, I mean, are you, depending how far out in the deadline, I guess, that's the other implication. But so where do you stash him when everyone's healthy? Are you carrying three goalies? Like, there's a lot of different things here to think about is what I'm saying. Like,
absolutely.
It's not as simple as it sounds. It's doable, but the optimum route, obviously, is to feel comfortable with where Anderson is.
And, again, we won't find out anytime soon, or it doesn't sound that way anyway. We'll see. We'll leave it there. Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Right on. Sounds great, guys. Okay, thanks for having me.
You got it. Pierre Lebrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.